One of our wonderful parishioners shared an article a couple of months ago, and I was intrigued by it, although I was not comfortable with it at the time. It spoke about our tendency as people of faith to exalt the stuff of our faith over the heart of our faith, that is, the intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, who loves us, forgives us, and heals us. The author of the article even gave a name to this dangerous practice, ecclesiolatry. How about that? Ecclesiolatry. Ecclesia means church, and latria means worship. And so it's basically church worship. Ecclesiolatry, it's like idolatry. It's the idolizing of church practices over the faith in our relationship with Jesus. Let me share a little bit of this article with you to kind of give you the context. Our Catholic faith has a rich heritage of truth, goodness, and beauty derived through scripture, sacraments, the lives of the saints, moral and systematic theology, a treasure of liturgical, devotional, and mystical prayer, social teaching, charitable works, and extraordinary achievements in art and science. Such an abundance, however, can tempt us to lose sight of what is primary. None of these wonderful blessings, not even all of them together, can replace Jesus Christ. Nor should they. It might sound strange, but it's possible to make an idol of church things. I call it ecclesiolatry, the impassioned raising of church-related things over the Christ who inspires them. Consider the conversations that occur at our parish meetings, or the discussions happening between Catholics on social media. Loads of energy is spent arguing on which form of the liturgy is best, which scripture translations should be used, which devotions are the most pious, which political platforms best reflect the social teaching of the church, and whether doctrine should be developed and how broadly. Interesting questions all, but when they become our main pursuits, then our focus has shifted, and not in a good way. We sometimes forget that the giver is the supreme gift, and that everything else is overflow. That Christianity isn't a philosophy, aesthetic, social structure, or code. That our faith is bound to a personal relationship with the living God who made himself intimately accessible to us in Jesus Christ. When that personal relationship takes a backseat to the beautiful things meant to flow from it, we become disoriented and our priorities disordered. Amen. This concept of ecclesiolatry intrigues me. We see it all the time, and we probably don't even realize it. When we find ourselves more attached to a place or a practice or a process, then we are off center with our focus as disciples, and we are guilty of ecclesiolatry. I once served in a parish that had the habit of praying the prayer to St. Michael at the end of Mass. You know the St. Michael prayer. Even before I said go in peace, they would pray it. So when I arrived and forgot to do it at one of my first Masses, honest mistake, people angrily asked me why I had cut the prayer out. I told them that I was unaware of the custom, but that we could always pray it after the dismissal, as would be proper. That wasn't good enough. The next Mass that I celebrated with them, after the blessing, several people in the front row began shouting, "Saint Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle, be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil." Not to Saint Michael, by the way, but at me. They were so attached to that practice that taking it away or forgetting it was tantamount to losing the identity of their parish. That is ecclesiolatry, lifting things above Jesus. It happens everywhere. when we are enamored of our own generosity, or our style of prayer or worship, or our buildings, or our pastor, or a priest, these are all good things, mind you. I grew up praying that prayer to St. Michael after daily mass as an altar boy. Probably many of you did too. But St. Michael is not Jesus. Mighty as he is not the Lord. This building is not Jesus. A prayer or a catechetical program is not Jesus. Your pastor certainly is not Jesus. Only he can be central. Only he is essential. It does not make sense to build a church unless we are building the church, his church. This is what Peter and the other apostles did not fully understand on that mountain. Rather than rejoicing in the vision and the relationship with the person of Jesus that they were blessed to be part of, Peter begins a capital campaign. I will make three tents here. One for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. We'll put a gift shop over there. People will come from all over. It takes the voice of no less than God the Father Almighty to call them back to what is important and necessary. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Listen to him. Sometimes, even in his glory, Jesus calls us out of our comfort zone. But I think this is his way of shaking us out of any ecclesiolatry that we may have fallen into. Abram and Sarai, they were comfortable with all their possessions in Ur. They were rich. They were well off. And yet, at God's word, Abram trusted and followed only the Lord. What is keeping us from faithfully investing ourselves in Christ? What is that thing that you feel like you could not live without in your church life? And if that thing isn't Jesus, you might have to let go of it. Is this place, this practice, or this process may be wonderful, and it may certainly lift our thoughts and our hopes to heaven, but only Jesus can take us there. Only Jesus gets us to heaven. This is not to poo-poo any of the wonderful things that are part of our tradition and part of our church, but in the end, it's only Jesus Christ who secures your place in heaven. As the apostles looked up, away from all the trappings of this world and away from all the things that they might have allowed to become too important, we are told that they saw no one else but Jesus alone. What a beautiful line to hear. May we find ourselves in that same position as we look to this altar, as we look to the Lord. He is the Savior. We are his people. The relationship is the important part. Everything we are and everything we do flows from Jesus and our loving relationship with him. As we pray, it is to him. As we serve, it is for him. As we build and act, it is only for him. May we look and see nothing else but Jesus.